Now, this is a very interesting part that we are going to expose today and see the light of God's word, how it's going to shed into our hearts so that we can profit from this portion of the scriptures. And here we see Elimelech, the wife of Naomi, left Bethlehem and he went to Moab, where Elimelech died there. But Naomi has left two sons, where they married Moabite women. One was Orpah and the other was Ruth. They lived in the Moabite region. Now Ruth was a Moabite. Who are the Moabites? How did they come from? Remember, Lot's daughters decided to make their father drunk and had sex with him, and he got pregnant. I mean, she... You guys are all up, right? Yeah, it might happen if you're drunk. And they got pregnant. And their descendants were people of the Moab and Ammon. The Moabites came from Moab, and the Moabite women, if you remember, they seduced God's people into idolatry. And you see this in Numbers chapter 25, verse 1 and 3. So, later both Mahlon and Chilion, they died, and Naomi was left with her two daughter-in-laws. Now, Naomi wanted to return back to Bethlehem, and she told her daughter-in-laws. And Ruth chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says, and Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Now, if you see here, both Orpah and Ruth said to Naomi, and they said to her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. In verse 10. But Naomi insisted that they should return back to their own people. And you see this, verse 11 to 14. Now, I'm going to show you in how there are two people here, Orpah and Ruth. And Orpah and Ruth, you find two sections or two different peoples that come to church. Okay? Now, Orpah kissed Naomi and left her but she kissed Naomi. And first she said, we will return to your people. And she kissed Naomi. And then later she went back to her idolatrous friends, the Moabites. They had different gods. But Ruth, on the other hand, clung to her mother-in-law, and she will not let her go. Then Naomi said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people, to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. You see this in verse 15. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Both women, Orpah and Ruth, had an affection to Naomi. And both said they would go with Ruth, with Naomi, to the land of Judah. But later, Orpah, with a very respectful kiss to her mother-in-law, left her back to her idolatrous friends. The kiss of outward love to the Lord is very cheap and easy. There are many people who call themselves Christians today, but they are like Orpah. They would kiss their religion. They would kiss their Lord every Sunday. They would kiss the church. They would kiss the Bible every Sunday. But soon after the service is over, they will return back to their idolatry. They would have an external love to the Lord, outward performances of love to the Lord. With their mouth they would confess the Lord, but their hearts are far away from the Lord. Orpah too wept. So these are also, Orpah is a good illustration to show there are some Christians also, they can weep outwardly. And they can have a devotion to the Lord outwardly. There's a difference between an emotional, temporary tears and holy tears. Judas too kissed the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will not look at your tears, but the Lord will look at your motives and your hearts. There are some who will depart from their sins. They will drop their sins just for a moment, for a little while. Just like a dog, when he sees that the meat is too hot to eat, he will depart the meat for a while. But after the meat has got a little colder, he will come back. He will return it. In the same way, there are many who would say they love the Lord with great emotions, but at the same time, they will go back to their pet sins, to their darling sins. As a dog returned to his vomit, so a fool returned to his folly. Proverbs 26:11. Such sinners leave sin as Orpah did in Moab, Orpah did and went back to the Moabites, but they soon find opportunity to return. Now, if you see this here very clearly, it was a time of testing for both women, for Orpah and for Ruth. It was a time of testing. This is where we can distinguish the true sheep and the goats. In the time of testing, you will know who is a true sheep and who is a goat. Because both can weep, both can kiss, and both can confess. It is easy to confess the Lord and kiss the Lord in easy, comfortable times. But how about in the time of testing your faith? How about in the times of trials? How about in the times of hardship? How about when there is great pressure is being applied to your soul? Will you curse God? Then, like Job's wife, who said to Job, you know, just curse God and die. And when great pressure is applied to your soul, then will your flesh come out, you know, with bad words, cursing God, and getting into the flesh and mad and angry, like a devilish kind of nature? How about when the worldly temptations comes in front of you? How about when the enemy lays a beautiful table of mouth-watering, juicy temptations in front of you? How will you say, wow, this is really good, I wish I could have all this? Will you do that? Orpah was not a true Christian. She went back to her old sins. When the time of testing came, we found that she is a goat. She is not a sheep. So it's very difficult to distinguish who is a true Christian in the church and who is not until that time of testing comes. Until the Lord will bring a fire and purge everybody and to see what is the true, genuine, and who is the true genuine and who is not. On the other hand, we see Ruth. Not only she wept, even with great pressure from Naomi for her to go back to her own people, but she clung to her. Instead of she deciding to leave to her own country, leave her own, instead of leaving her own country, leave her own mother, father, brothers and sisters and friends, and trust in the Lord. That means she had to, for her to say, I am going to be with your people. That means she has to leave her own country. She has to leave her own family, her mom, her dad, her brothers, her sisters, her friends, and leave everybody and say, I love the Lord. I want to be with the Lord. I will go wherever you go. Your people are going to be my people. For her to confess that, to leave to an unknown country, that is faith and that is trust in the Lord. And that's just sheep. That's a true Christian. Do you love your parents, your family, your spouse, your children more than the Lord? Ask yourself. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus said, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And if you truly say, it's the Lord that delivered me from hell, and who is the Lord who saved my soul and brought me to the righteousness of the Heavenly Father, He is the one who gave me eternal life. And how can you love somebody else on this earth, any creature, anybody, more than the Lord? And if you love another person, your mother, father, spouse, or children, anybody more than the Lord, that is called, what is it? Idolatry. It's a sin. And we take it so lightly. Ruth said to Naomi, entreat not to leave you or turn back from following after you. Also she said, thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. What's the meaning of entreat? Entreat means she pleaded desperately and she clung to her. She decided to count the loss, ready to suffer all worldly loss for the sake of the Master. This is the true conversion of a soul to the Lord. In the time of testing, it's so easy to go back to the garlics and leeks of Egypt. That's what the children of Israel, right? In the time of testing, they complain, they grumble, they say, We want to go back to Egypt where we had so delicious foods, the garlics, the leeks, and the meat, and so on. And how many Christians, when they come to the Lord, and we talk about holiness, we talk about taking the narrow road, they say, oh, this is so difficult. Why can't I go and enjoy myself a little bit in the world? Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Are you ready to deny your comforts? Are you ready to deny your pleasures? Are you ready to deny yourself, your will? Are you ready to deny your will? And everyone else, when you love in your family and pick up the cross, are you ready to deny everybody else's say? if they say in one accord, do this, but the Lord's will says something else, are you ready to deny it? Picking up the cross means to suffer with Jesus. Denying all the lusts of the flesh, denying the beauty of this world, are you ready to deny the beauty of this world? Agonizing by walking in the narrow road, are you ready to suffer for the Lord? Saying no to the world, are you ready to witness to people and give the good news? Are you ready to take all manner of ridicule and mockings that comes from the unbelievers? Are you ready to live the Christian life? And so here, just like Ruth, leaving her family, her nation, her culture that she's so used to it, and just forgetting them, everybody, and going to a strange nation where she has never heard, I mean, she has heard, of course, but she has never seen and experienced or cleaving to the Lord. That is true faith. And that is where regeneration came on Ruth. You know, you got to lose to gain. And losing to the world, gaining Christ. Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, but one things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8 says, yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have what? Suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Wow. Just imagine, all the beauties of this world, all the wealth of the world, all the glamour that the world can give you, and all everything what you have earned from this world, Apostle Paul said, I count them as a loss, and I count them but just dung compared to the excellency of and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. How about you and I? How about us living in this perverted generation today? We need to see the great example, not only Ruth, but of Naomi. Naomi, she not only taught Christianity, but she walked Christianity. She lived what she believed. Ruth saw Naomi's gods in Naomi's lifestyle. And Ruth did not want to leave Naomi, but said, your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Are you living an example to the people around you? Are you a living example of, are you a Christian? Are you living the Christian example among the people around you, at work, at home, on the street, or wherever you go? Do they see Christ in you? Do they see Christ in you? Remember when the Spaniards, when they went over to South America, they treated the poor natives so badly that the Indians, they did not wish to know anything about the Spaniards' God. For they thought their God was a cruel God because the way they treated them. Naomi, she lost her husband, she lost two sons. She lost everything. And she's going back penniless to Bethlehem. And yet, her daughter-in-law says to her, thy God shall be my God. Just think about it. When disaster comes, when disaster hits, people will blame God for the disaster. Ruth saw the disaster. She saw the death of Naomi's husband. She saw the death of her own husband, and she saw the death of her brother-in-law. Who would want to follow Naomi's God after seeing all these disasters? Huh? Who would? Who would want to follow a God where you will not see happiness but suffering? Many false preachers, they preach, if you want happiness, accept Christ Jesus. If you want blessings, accept Christ Jesus. Ruth could not have found happiness and the joy of the world if she went back to the gods of the Moabites. But yet she said, your people shall be my people and your God my God. Why? Because Ruth saw Naomi's God was real. I'm sure Naomi would have told Ruth everything of the Jehovah God. How the Jehovah God brought the saved the Egyptians, saved the Israelites from the Egyptians and drowned them in the sea. The enemy was drowned in the sea. I'm sure she would have told the story of the creation of the real living God to Ruth. And she saw Naomi, how she stood the test in the time of adversity. She may have stood as a light, as a pillar, not complaining, not grumbling, not in anger against God, but still trusting in God. Showing her faith in action, Ruth wants to follow that God. If somebody at your work, if you are saying you're a Christian and you profess yourself to be Christian, confess yourself to be Christian, and then when adversity comes, trials comes, the people, unbelievers, will look at you. Let's see how she's going to react. Let's see how he's going to react. Then if that person sees bad words coming from your mouth and you getting angry, mad and upset and behaving like an unbeliever, you say, there you go. I don't think that person is real. It's a phony person. It's a phony Christianity. But here, Naomi stood the test. And Ruth said, she's real. I want to follow her God. Because my gods, if I follow my gods, I have nowhere that I can stand. Because they are all sinking sand. Orpah kissed Naomi and left her by going back to her own gods. There was another pressure upon Ruth. What's the other pressure? The other pressure is her friend, her own countryman, her own companion left her. She went back to the world. Can you stand the temptations now following your companion? Just imagine when your own countrymen leaving you and you are with this other woman from another nation, you got more pressure usually to go with your own companion because she's your friend. She's your from the same country. There was another pressure. And yet, she said, I will follow Christ alone without my friend. Will you be just like Mr. Pliable, who will go back to the city of destruction? You know Pliable? He's very pliable when the time, occasion comes. He is very pliable when the time of worshipping God, he will worship God. You know, when the time of praising God, he will praise God. When the time of adversity comes, oh no, I will go back to the world. You know, that's pliable. Or will you be the Christian who will pursue your way in the narrow road? Naomi had not much. She had no husband. Both her sons died. She had no lands. She had no gold, no silver, no precious. She didn't own anything. Everything was gone. She is bankrupt. She didn't own anything. Everything was wiped out. But she had her God. The only treasure that Naomi had was God alone. God was her chief possession. When Ruth said, "Your God shall be my God," what does it mean? What does it mean when she said, "Your God shall be my God"? That means what she's saying is, "Your God is going to influence me, not my gods. Your God is going to direct me now, not my God. Your God shall lead me. Your God is going to govern me. Your God is going to be the king of in my heart. He is going to rule me, not my flesh. I will yield to him and obey him in everything. That is my God. I will endure to all things according to his will. Your God shall be my God." That's what it means. Many people want God to be their helper. In asking God, "God, I want this, I want that, I want you to do this to me. God, I want you to, you know, do all these things for me, God. So, God, you are going to help me because you are my helper." That's the way people take God. People take God as their helper, in the sense making God to be your servant. They pray and ask God to do certain things, what they want. But God is not your servant. God is the master and you are the servant. He is sovereign and we are to follow his ways. He is the ruler of your life. You do not rule him, and you dare not tell him what to do. I truly believe in today's generation that we are living, 9 out of 10 people who call themselves Christians, I don't think they are truly Christians. Why do I say that? I believe they have set up a new God. A new God that comes from the media. A new God that comes from the world. A new God that comes from the pulpits. The God of the Old Testament is too strict, too stern, too hard to this modern Christianity. So they have set up a soft, tender God, where Moses already spoke about these gods in the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses warned the Israelites, Deuteronomy 32:17. Moses said, "They sacrifice unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers fear not." These new gods, you don't fear them. You don't fear these new tender, soft, pussy-totten gods. You don't fear them. They will not fear the God of the Puritans. They will not fear the God of the Old Testament. He is very fearful, very strict, very stern. But let me tell you, I believe, and we believe in the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. That is my God. The God that drowned Pharaoh and the host in the Red Sea and moved his people when they drowned in the Red Sea, what did the people do? They sang to the Lord. They say hallelujah and sang a new song to the Lord. You think if disaster happens today to unbelieving, perverse, wicked generation, people will say hallelujah, sing to the Lord because of their sins, because they are enemies of Christianity? I don't think so. But they did it. The God that caused the earth to open, swallow up Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and all their company, is a fearful God, is a God that whom you and true Christians serve. That's why Moses said they sacrifice unto devils. They are not the true living God. Gods of whom they knew not. These are new gods that came up. Your fathers fear not. The Old Testament, they don't want the Old Testament God today. They don't want to hear that stuff. They say, oh, that's the Old Testament. We want to hear the love, Jesus' love, giving bear hugs to everybody who is so tender. The God of the Old Testament, He is the God and the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Full of mercy and compassion and grace, He is also tender and gentle. Yet, He is just, dreadful in His holiness. This is the God of the Bible whom we worship. And he who comes to Christ in Christ must put his trust in the true living God. Not the God that you want God to be. People set up a God. I believe God is like this. And that's your God. That's not the God of the Bible. But woe unto those in this modern Christianity who have made themselves unto a God of their own understanding. And this God had no power to save souls. Even if this God comes using the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says there are other Jesuses. Thy God, says Ruth to Naomi, is not another God. Is not the God of Molech. Not the God of Chemosh, but the God Jehovah shall be my God. That's the Old Testament God. Old Testament God is the God, same God in the New Testament. Shall be my God. She took him to be her guide and her instructor. So we must also trust in this God alone. Ruth, she forsook her own people and the idols of the Gentiles to worship the God of Israel and to join herself to that people. Ruth is a beautiful picture. It's a type of the Gentile church. Ruth was a Moabite. Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. And our blessed Lord came from her prosperity. God raised up David and Solomon of her seed to establish the crown of Israel, the people that she chose before her own people. In her own posterity, which is much more of her seed, and he raised up Jesus Christ, in whom all the families are going to be blessed. Wow. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to continue next week of our kinsman, our redeemer. But what have you learned in this? You know, just imagine, why did the Holy Spirit put this little book? Little things are very important. You can learn a lot on little things. even the Holy Spirit put this a Ruth, a Moabite. I mean, Naomi is losing everything. What good is it? But look at the story that you can learn, that can profit your soul. Look how Jesus Christ came from the life of Ruth, a Moabite. And we are going to learn next week how Ruth married Boaz. And he came from the line of who? Rahab, the prostitute. Yeah. And so, what do you learn here today? What you learn here today is losing everything. Losing the world. Losing everything that you adore. Losing everything, including your closest, dearest friends, including your spouse, your husband, your wife, your children, your mother, your father. You have to put the Lord number one above everything else. Your devotion has to be the Lord above everything else. That is the most important lesson what we have learned today. That if we say that we love the Lord, we have to understand that God is sovereign then. I'm not going to tell God what to do. God is not an American God. God is a God, is a sovereign God who rules his people. God will tell us what to do. That means when trials, difficulties, hardships, when everything else comes up, do not complain. Do not grumble. Be content what you have. Be content what you have. And understand that is the most important thing. The greatest treasure that you have. God shows in this little book that you can lose everything what you have. But when you lose everything what you have, yet can you love the Lord? Can you? If you lose everything what you have, if you lose your job, if you lose your family, your possessions, can you still love the Lord? If you're a true Christian, you will say, yes, I can. Because He is my God. He is my portion. He is my treasure. Like Peter, when everybody else was leaving, all the disciples were leaving, Jesus said, Peter, are you leaving too? The disciples, Jesus said, where shall we go? We don't have anywhere to go. Only you have eternal life. Remember, the earth, the days that we are living, think in the book of Psalms 90, it says that it's like a dream. It's like a sigh. Everything is like a dream. We are living and days are going to go so fast before you know. We will come. There is a day that is appointed for each one to die. And that day will come. And a lot of times we think, oh, there's so much time for me to learn the Bible. There's so much time for me to get serious in the Word of God. There's so much time for me to witness to people. Right now, I will just relax and wait. There's no time for waiting. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. Orpah was a stiff-necked woman. She, on the other hand, she saw, I'm not going to gain anything going to another country. I don't know those people. Why should I go to people that I don't know? What am I going to get? What am I going to profit going to another country? And besides all, this God brought calamity, adversity. Why should I follow this God? I don't want to go that way. But I know my people. They are rich. They are wealthy. They have everything. And I know I will bless them. So, Opa went by feelings. The Bible says, without faith, you can never please God. Never please God. Question is, are you walking by faith or are you walking by feelings? Your answer could be easy. You might say, by faith. But I'm asking, when the circumstances come, the real circumstances come, how do you act? That's where the rubber meets the road. How do you act? It's easy to give an answer because it's in the Bible. But in reality, in your lifestyle, when the circumstances happen, do you walk by faith or by feelings? Can you say honestly, by faith? Or can you say honestly, you know what? A lot of times, I have walked by feelings. And I have walked by feelings. And if you say, you know what? A lot of times I mess it up. But you can, this is where we have a God who can forgive us. And God, in God, we have mercy. And instead of kissing, it's easy to kiss God, but instead of kissing, you need to fall at His feet. And true repentance is that once you learn something very precious, very dear to you, meditate upon it. Think about those heavenly things and ask the Lord to change your heart. And ask the Lord, Lord, see if there's anything in my heart that is wicked and not right. And mean it, what you say. And God can change us. God can change you. And God can make you to a woman like Ruth. And Ruth is a beautiful story, what we heard today. And it's something that we all can make, get a lesson. And to follow what she said, I want to follow your God. Wow. I want to be with your people. So let's ask the Lord to profit what we heard today. For the sake of Jesus, we ask that the Holy Spirit will speak to us when we finish church. Amen.